He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Subject is down. You grab my taser.
I can tell you that as the result of that video and the bad decision made by our officer, he will be charged with murder. That's not something that we like to hear or like to say, but it goes to say how we work as a community. If you make a bad decision, don't care if you're behind the shield or just a citizen on the street, you have to live by that decision. And so we as a city want the family to know that our hearts and our thoughts are with them, our prayers are with them. Anything that we can do for them, we're here to do.
Good morning, New York, on this damp, chilly, cruddy day. 7 minutes after 10 o'clock, you're listening to 77 WABC. I want to back into this one. I want to back into this outrageous cop shooting in North Charleston, South Carolina. I want to back into it because first, there's this lesson to cops, to crooks, to everybody. There is video everywhere. You're a crook. You may remember the old days when you could break into someplace, stick somebody up, have a reasonable chance of getting away with it, even with eyewitnesses, because eyewitnesses can be impeached as unreliable. Body cameras. Cops and crooks, body cameras, surveillance cameras. Can anybody deny any longer that black folks have a legitimate beef when it comes to cops and the use of deadly force on unarmed black men? 866-HERALDO, 866-HERALDO. I want to start with this outrageous South Carolina case where, according to CNN, South Carolina, 200 incidents in the last 5 years of cops using potentially deadly force on civilians. 200 incidents, last 5 years, no cop ever convicted in those 5 years. In fact, according to CNN, no cop in living memory has been convicted there of the wrongful use of excessive force on unarmed civilians. We love cops around here. We especially love the NYPD, the most professional force in the nation. But even this show, even me, you have to agree, whether you're a cop in New York or North Carolina, you can usually count on investigators, not to mention eyewitnesses and juries and grand juries, as we saw in Staten Island in the Eric Garner case, being sympathetic to cops, wanting to believe cops. When the cops explain or excuse their use of deadly force because they said they feared their lives were endangered or because the suspect was grabbing for the taser, as in the North Carolina case allegedly, or the gun, or making a menacing move, something, doing something that justified the use of deadly force as necessary self-defense. The video, though, doesn't lie. The video out of North Charleston, South Carolina, just like the video in the Eric Garner case, but even more unequivocally, the video in North Charleston, South Carolina, vivid, horrifying proof that, like crooks, cops sometimes lie. And as with crooks, video can show graphic evidence that sometimes cops commit what looks like murder in the name of law and order. Now, isn't that what you think happened when the 33-year-old white cop, Michael Slager, what he did following a traffic stop on the unarmed 50-year-old black man, Walter Scott? You've got to see the video. I don't know what happened before this home video started rolling. Apparently, the cop had discharged his taser into the motorist following their initial encounter. Scott tries to run away from Slager. The officer calmly aims his weapon, and for maybe 15 feet away maximum, 20 at the tops, the cop fires. He fires 8 shots, empties his weapon. 3 of those shots hit the fleeing motorist in the back. One hits him in the butt, the other one clips his ear off. The black man crumples to the grass after the final shots ring out. And unlike any of the cases we've talked about recently, more than Eric Garner, we've seen that videotape a million times, certainly more than Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, or Akai Gurley, the accidental shooting in the vestibule, the darkened vestibule of the housing projects there in Brooklyn. This, though, in North Carolina, South Carolina, rather, North Charleston, it's a suburb of the big city of Charleston, the tourist mecca, North Charleston, South Carolina, is unequivocal proof that sometimes cops are too quick to use deadly force, especially in cases involving black men. 866-HERALDO, I'm telling you, thank God for videotape. It not only shows in this case how unthreatening the dead black man's behavior was. Just as tellingly, the video shows the cop attempting to plant evidence on the dead guy to buttress the cop's lie about how the guy attempted to grab the cop's taser, which made the cop's use of deadly force necessary. The group Black Lives Matter, based here in New York, protesting today in North Charleston. But I'm telling you, this video should be mandatory on every cop's vest. Body cameras, mandatory. We have to know what happens. Cops have to know that they can't shoot somebody in the back. Black families can't be more afraid of cops than they are of crooks. This has to stop. You know, they say if you see something, say something. If you see something, videotape something. Videotape it. My pal Dan Rather used to say the camera never blinks. Now this guy, this fellow Scott, was tragically shot in the back. He was no angel. Being arrested, they say he's been arrested about 10 times. Mostly though for failing to pay child support or to show up for court hearings. Arrested, assault and battery in the 80s, possession of a bludgeon in 1991, no angel. But mostly his encounters with the cops were based on the fact that he wasn't paying child support. And he was afraid in this traffic stop, he was driving a Mercedes, has a broken taillight, cop stops him. Talk about that forever. Cop stops him, they have some words. At some point, the cop tasers him. The taser is extended. It's on the ground. You could see it. Scott runs. And that's what gets you when you're watching it. You have to be moved by that. You see the cop draw the bead, a two-handed stance. He starts firing. Bang, 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 bang. A man running away. How do you justify that in your mind? What kind of training have you received? What were you afraid of exactly with the guy running away? An unarmed man, you've already tased him, he's running away. And then after you've expended your 8 shots and 5 of them hit the guy and he falls, he crumples, then you have the presence of mind to pick up the taser that you previously shot at him. You're the cop. The taser is by the police cruiser, then you walk over calmly to the crumpled body and you place the taser alongside the dead man. Come on. Come on. This is murder. I mean, I congratulate the police chief for acting quickly in this case. Some lawyer might argue that it's not murder, there wasn't an intent to kill or whatever. That will be defended. But because of this videotape, there is an unblinking witness to what too many black families in this nation fear today, more afraid of cops than crooks. Now, when I say, I know that irks people, but it is true. Another instance, this is a vivid encapsulation of exactly what it is that all these movements were really about. Trayvon Martin, equivocal. Michael Brown, more than equivocal, the kid was a thug, but he was unarmed. Was deadly force necessary? Grand jury said no criminal action taken by that officer in Ferguson, Missouri. Okay. Akai Gurley, the cop, indicted here in Brooklyn. But this videotape in North Charleston, South Carolina, if you haven't seen it, you must see it. It represents exactly what all of these protesters have been saying. You can argue a nuance here or there in various cases. You can argue that, you know, put yourself in the cop's shoes. You have to, you can't judge what a cop does from the safety of your living room no more than you could judge what a soldier in combat does. But this video, the camera didn't blink. You see him draw his bead on the back of this man who is fleeing, this unarmed man he's already tasered. And he shoots him. Bang, 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 bang. It is chilling. It is unjustifiable. It is in every way a graphic example of the fear. You can argue the reality and the statistics. The fear, though. The fear of too many black families that the traffic stop will result in something like this. This man was executed coming out of a traffic stop. A taillight that didn't work on his Mercedes. A traffic stop. The guy is dead. Shot in the back. 866-year-old, I appreciate that you're buzzing the phone off the hook. I'll get to your calls. We'll talk about this for really a good hunk of the morning. Ed Mullen, our favorite police sergeant, will be joining us for the president of the SBA shortly. Guns is down at that One Oak Club where the former Nick stabbed today. But I want to concentrate on this necessary reform. Body cameras on every single cop. If you see something, videotape something.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues. Geraldo, today and every day. 77 WABC.
25 minutes after 10 o'clock. Every cop should have a camera on their vest as well as a camera on their vehicle. It should be mandatory. And it should be the video turned over whenever there is an incident. Fortunately, for the sake of justice in this North Charleston, South Carolina case, there is this vivid video, this graphic, this outrageous scene unfolding of the 33-year-old white cop shooting 8 times into the back of the unarmed 50-year-old black man as he flees the scene. I'm going to get back to that and to your calls, which I appreciate, so just be patient for a second. I just want to touch on this other case a lot closer to home, in fact, on 17th Street, at this One Oak Club. You've heard about what happened involving the former Nick, Chris Copeland, now playing for the Pacers. I guess he's in town for the big basketball game, stabbed in the stomach around 4 o'clock in the morning, which buttresses my old saying that nothing good ever happens after 1 in the morning. But our own Guns Gunselman is on the scene there at One Oak in Chelsea, the scene of the crime there, or the incident. So what the hell happened, Guns? What were the guys doing? Were they all drunk and drugged up? What's up?
So I'm on it's 17th Street between the corner of on the corner of 10th Avenue, and I've been here before. It's a very popular nightclub, this One Oak, and it's very like celebrity driven. So you have your MTV Video Music Award after parties here, and this is the place where Lindsay Lohan was always getting in trouble because she was always, you know, a mess and a wreck. And I'm on scene right here, and the police tape is up, and there's still tons of blood all over the sidewalk and along this white, I want to say Mercedes, has bloody handprints all over it and blood splattered all over it. What we know is that Chris Copeland, who played for the Knicks 2 years ago, averaged about 9 points a game, is a current Pacer right now as the Pacers are looking to try and make the playoffs with a couple games left. He's in town because the Pacers play the Knicks later tonight. Apparently a scuffle, an altercation. Him and his wife were both stabbed by this person who, as they were walking out of the club, it's about 3 cars down is where it's all blocked off, and that's where the blood is scattered all around. So three cars down from outside the nightclub. Two Atlanta Hawks players, and they're the number one team right now in the NBA, at least on the east side, were also arrested for an altercation. Their names are Tabo Cephalosha and Perry Antich, and they're really good players. They both scored 38 points combined just last night. They obstructed the cops from being able to put up the crime tape and getting to the actual scene. So they were booked and arrested as well. But what you do know is, once again, nothing good can happen. Also, what is an NBA player doing when he's got a game tonight?
A game tonight, and they're out at 4 in the morning carousing.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what, though, there are two cameras on the outside, located right outside. So everything got caught on film and on camera. So we'll definitely see that. But yeah, I mean, this guy was expected. He played in almost every single game this Chris Copeland for the Pacers this year. And, you know, they're expected to be in the playoffs, or at least be right there for the playoffs. And now he just got stabbed. He's at Bellevue Hospital in stable condition along with his wife.
Now, his wife is, they arrested this 22-year-old Shazoy Bleary.
Right. Yeah, he was the
who is he? Does he have any connection to the NBA? It was just what happened?
He was just an agitator. It looks like they got into some sort of altercation when they were walking out. Probably said something. 4 a.m. I'm sure everyone's, you know, hammered and wrecked and drunk. And it's some sort of a scuffle.
Were the two Atlanta Hawks with Copeland, with the Indiana Pacer? Was it one party?
As far as I know, and when I would gather by speaking to somebody that actually worked for One Oak, I don't think they were together, but they definitely saw each other and knew each other, which is why they kind of stepped in.
And so what, they tried to stop the cops from doing their job?
I mean, pretty much, it looks that way. Maybe they're trying to, you know, once the athletes are involved, the media attention that's going to get, but those guys just got booked, and they're supposed to play the Nets tonight, and they actually have more on the line than... Yeah, I mean, you know, they are in the playoffs. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference right now, the Atlanta Hawks. So, not good for them. And why would you ever stop a cop to begin with, especially an NYPD cop?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guns Gunselman on the scene. I appreciate it, Guns.
Yes,
if you hear anything, let me know, okay, buddy? All right, so we'll continue to monitor this incident involving the former Nick Chris Copeland, who is in Bellevue, we are told, along with his wife. He was stabbed. She was slashed. Slashed in the stomach. But as Gunn said, and appropriate to our discussion this morning.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Army Band, Downrange, it's called. The soloist there is Sergeant First Class William Lamb. They're in town to promote the U.S. Army's birthday, and we'll have them live here in the studio shortly. The U.S. Army Band, Downrange, featuring Sergeant First Class William Lamb. And we'll talk to him shortly. I'm going to talk to you right now. 866-GERALDO. Body camera, every cop. It is a national tragedy that too many black families fear cops as much as, some cases, more than they fear crooks. The South Carolina video is incredibly graphic and outrageous and representative in a way that no words can capture of the fear of too many that unarmed black men are particularly vulnerable to the use of deadly force by law enforcement. What do you think? Start with Jim. Thank you for your patience. Jim, what do you say?
Well, good morning, Geraldo. A while back during the Ferguson shooting, you and I spoke about every police officer having some kind of a body camera. Barack Obama came out shortly after that allocating money so police officers would have body cameras. So I have really two questions. One, what happened to the body cameras? And two, why doesn't, or why can Barack Obama sign an executive order ordering every police officer now to have a body camera?
Those are two good questions. I don't know off the top of my head how many departments, Jim, and I appreciate the call, how many departments have implemented it. Sergeant Ed Mullins, as I mentioned, the head of the SBA, will be joining us momentarily. I'll ask him how extensive the distribution. I know some have been given out to cops here in New York. I'll ask the sergeant exactly what the mandatory, what the rules are. But my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, whatever you think about law and order, crime and punishment, why not have a body camera? These cameras don't lie. Just like the case of the, Chris Copeland, the former Nick, and on 17th Street. I mean, there are two cameras outside, clearly visible. They will tell us. The camera doesn't blink. They'll tell us. I want everything outside videotaped. Everything. And if you see something, tape something. Here's Joe in Middletown. What's up, Joe? What are you thinking about?
Hi, Geraldo.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm all for the cameras. And I like tasers.
Oh, I tell you what. I've got Ed on the line right now, Joe. Hold on. I'm going to come back to you. I got Sergeant Mullins on the line now. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Thank you so much for being on. You know, just in the midst of all this this crap we're seeing now with the shooting of the unarmed black man in the back. First of all, Sergeant, what's your response or reaction to it?
Well, from looking at the video, what you could tell, it's going to be hard to explain what happened there. I mean, again, years of experience, sometimes you find out that there's something more, and sometimes you find out that it's exactly as it appears. I know there's a question about the taser. So, when you look at what's taking place, this is going to be an issue. And, it'll be interesting to see what the outcome will be. I
mean, what about the murder obviously. Charge? Do you agree with the murder charge, given what the evidence says you see it, Sergeant Mullins?
I don't know enough on the details to, really agree or disagree on it. I kind of understand what's happening. I'd be interested to learn more about it from, what the district attorney's office is doing and what the, local law enforcement agency is doing. And they may have other evidence that we're not aware of. So it's hard to, give a truthful opinion on what actually took place there.
I understand your caution. Let me ask you this. In terms of the, some of the callers have asked me, and I don't know the answer. What is the status of the body camera drive here with the NYPD?
It's been implemented in very small levels. I don't believe that it's been turned out to the extent that it was supposed to be. There is a lot of debate as to the process for what should take place with body cameras. And as much as we see them as, creating a point of clarity, there's a lot of legal issues that haven't been addressed as far as people's right to privacy. There is a case with, I believe it's New York State SUNY system, where SUNY police are wearing cameras on campus and they're going into dorms. And, it's just part of it. Yet there is a spillback as to what's privacy or not, as where an officer may, go to an emergency room on a case. You now have, video of people, receiving medical treatment. So there's really no clarity on this. And I think that this needs to get worked out. It needs to get worked out, so that the public understands what's taking
place. Who do you think, Sergeant Mullins is my guest, the head of the SBA, a terrific officer, son of a longshoreman. I didn't even know that. Real New Yorker raised in the village. I'm going to jump around here a little bit. You heard about the stabbing on 17th Street, your old precinct involving the NBA player. What happens at 4 o'clock in the morning in these clubs?
Well, this is a point where people read a point of incox, and you think about it. Okay, it's great to go out and party, but it's 4 o'clock in the morning. A lot of people are getting ready to go to work. So, how long were you out there? What took place? You get a dispute, and then people are unable to control their tempers. And the next thing, you have someone shot or stabbed, and that's the end result of, what should have been a good night out. Unfortunately, this happens all too often.
Let me go back to the body cam. Who do you want to set the ground rules? I mean, should there be a more activist approach to this? I mean, isn't this the way to
sort
it out?
I think
there's
got to be a very practical and realistic approach to it. You look back to what Ronald Reagan said years ago of, government
You okay, Ed?
Yes. You hear me?
Yes, I got you now.
Yep. You take into consideration at what expense to people's rights. So as much as we sit and say, gee, a body camera would solve this problem, we're going to have the people who sit back and say, well, you're now violating my rights with it. So we need to come to common ground as to what the greater good is. And I think there's got to be some real serious debate as to, or at least research, maybe not so much debate, but research as to what the right thing to do is here. Because when we don't trust the police, that has a chilling effect across the nation. And we have to be able to trust the police.
But look, the cop in this case, the cop in this case apparently lied, though, Ed. Until the video came out, everybody was agreeing with him.
This is the one in from
South Carolina.
Yeah, see, I didn't know that. And that would make sense why there's a manslaughter charge or a murder charge, whatever it is they're actually charging with.
Murder right now.
Great. So in a case where you lied and now there's a videotape, you know, you've got a problem. And you know, that's got to be addressed.
Well, I think that what you said is, and I'm going to say, tell it briefly, what's the event tomorrow night? Tell me about the Heroes dinner tomorrow night.
We do an annual event, really, in the memory of the four sergeants who were killed during 9/11, and we honor, people and members of the NYPD who have, performed extraordinary events in their life or duties, and in many cases, officers who've been killed. Officer Ramos and Officer Liu are being honored tomorrow night. Their families will be in attendance. We have Officer Williams and Officer Guerrero, who also killed last year, who will also be honored tomorrow night.
Well, I'll be proud to be there with you.
Great. Thank you.
All right, Sergeant Ed Mullins, I appreciate it. Thanks, Sarge.
Bye.
You know, you got to work this out. I mean, that's shocking to me that after all the publicity, the last time this happened, the program has piddled along at such an incredibly mediocre pace. So let's call on the mayor to get this thing implemented. Call on Bill Bratton to get this, the commissioner, to get this thing implemented, these body cameras. I understand the competing equities here. But you can always sort that out. Shooting the video doesn't mean using the video. There's got to be some procedure. It just seems to me that if you have a bunch of smart people in a room, they should be able to put this thing together in the weekend and maybe the Justice Department is the one that should hammer it out and put a template forward to all police departments throughout the nation so everybody's on the same page. Because the tape doesn't lie. Yes, there are privacy concerns and all the rest of it, blah, blah. But the tape doesn't lie.
Live, local, on it, 866 Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
6 minutes before 11 o'clock. Okay, Joe from Middletown, you're on WABC. What's on your mind, buddy? Tell me, I'm sorry I had to put you on hold for Sergeant Mullins, but what's on your mind? Thanks for your patience.
That's okay, Geraldo. I'm for the cameras and the tasers and the rubber bullets and the bean bags. Why don't we use that more often? You know, the outcome would be much better. You know, and as far as this officer, if he lied, well, that's murder, you know. And, the Staten Island case, that shows you where an officer was wrong right there.
I agree. There should have been, I think there should have been or could have been an indictment for involuntary manslaughter in the Eric Garner case.
He jumped on that man's back.
Well, you can't apply. He applied what amounted, obviously, to deadly force, whether he knew it or not. I think that there is more equivocation available, though, there, Joe, than in this case in South Carolina. The guy's running away. The cop takes a draw, two-hand stance, classic stance, and plugs him.
It's a good idea not to run from the police.
I agree, man. I agree.
It's a good idea.
There's one thing you could say. Joe, I appreciate the call and the patience. This one thing you say, I tell my kids this, I've told them, my sons especially, this. There's one thing you say to a cop. You say yes, sir, and no, sir. That's what you say. That's what you say. You have a beef with the cop, the cop's out of line, too rough and tough, rude, like the cop, that got busted, yelling at the Uber driver the other day. There's always a recourse down the line. But you don't run from a cop. You don't struggle with a cop physically. You never win. You're not going to convince the cop to change his mind. If anything, he or she are going to feel more and more defensive. They're going to get more and more threatened or more and more edgy. Whatever happened before the video in South Carolina there, apparently the cop tased the guy. First of all, he's even tasing someone behind a traffic stop. I mean, really, if the guy is agitated, he stopped. He has a bad taillight. If you're that worried, then you call for backup. You know, classically, that's what happens. I mean, this guy didn't call for backup until after he had shot the guy dead. Okay, David in the Bronx. What's up, David?
Hi, Geraldo. Good morning. You know, this seems very ego thing, it seems like to me. It seems like this guy was like, how dare this, excuse the expression, how dare this end run away from me? I'll show him. And he was too lazy to run after him. There's only one exception where you could shoot a person in the back if he's armed and dangerous and running away. And, you know, there's just a lot of dumb cops out there with an ego thing. That's what I think it was.
Well, good call, David. I appreciate that from the Bronx. You know, the thing about shooting unarmed man in the back, that is absolutely illegal. You can't shoot an unarmed man. You can shoot, as David correctly points out, in the back if the guy is armed and considered a menace. But I bet when you come back to the criminal case, the lawyer will raise that possibility in the cop's defense.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Staff Sergeant Martha Crable, one of the soloists with the U.S. Army Band Downrange. They're going to be live here in our studio high above Madison Square Garden momentarily. We're all celebrating the birthday of the United States Army. Martha Crable doesn't fit the stereotype of the Army Staff Sergeants that you're used to. Big day today in the news. If you put on, CNN or Fox News today or any other channel, you've seen the video by now. Shocking, really sickening, outrageous. So undeniable what happens. You have an officer stopping an unarmed black guy. First, they have some kind of altercation, and the white officer tases him. Then the motorist who's been stopped, this 50-year-old guy, Walter Scott, starts running away. The 33-year-old cop, the white cop, Michael Slager, there in North Charleston, South Carolina, draws his service weapon and fires 8 shots into the back of the fleeing unarmed man. 3 of the shots hit him in the back, Scott's back. 1 hits him in the butt. The other one hits his ear. The black man crumples to the grass after the final shots ring out. And really, this is unlike anything we have seen. It's more than Eric Garner. Have you seen that video? Certainly more than Michael Brown. We know in Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, the cop was cleared of any involvement, any wrongdoing. A Kai Gurley, an accident in Brooklyn. The cop, though, charged with manslaughter. This is apparently murder. That's what they're charging the cop with. This is murder. Clear, unequivocal. Proof also that obviously sometimes cops are too quick to use deadly force. And statistically, it seems they're more quick to use deadly force in cases involving black men. Of course, the guy should not have run from the cop. Of course, he should not have had this physical altercation with the cop. But thank God for the videotape. The videotape in this North Carolina case. North Charleston, rather, South Carolina. Getting mixed up there. North Charleston. North Charleston is like the suburb of Charleston. Charleston, South Carolina, very, historic city, big tourist mecca, Charleston, South Carolina. Noam used to work there, actually. Noam's off today. Deborah Valentine's filling in for him. But North Charleston, it's like West Palm Beach. It's one of these towns that developed later. The town, about half black. 80% of the cops, though, are white. That may be part of the problem, but that's another issue. The issue I'm talking about today is I want cameras on every cop. You know, but for the camera in this case, the cop story, they would have bought the cop story about the guy being a menace to the cop and the guy getting shot by the cop only because the cop feared for his life. The video is very clear. Guy's running away. First bullet doesn't even hit the guy in the back until he's around 15 feet away. And very calmly, the cop then follows the first shot with seven more shots. You know, Crash, get that. I want to hear that video. The sound from that video of the cop shooting. And you can...
243, dispatch, shots fired. Subject is down. You grab my taser.
I can take...
And then the video shows the cop calmly, after the man falls, he goes and he looks at him. Then he goes back to the patrol car, picks up the taser that he used, and then takes it and places it alongside the fallen body of the guy. Oh, come on. But we're talking about body cameras. We're talking about this fear of police by too many black families. Westchester, Teddy, thank you for calling. Thank you also for your patience, Teddy, and you, the other callers, to 866 Geraldo. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call, Geraldo. Here's my comment. The whole issue about shooting people is that the individual, when gets stopped by a cop for whatever the reason, and they feel that they did something wrong, they intend to argue with the police officer. And in some cases, like this case, he actually hit the officer taser and ran away from him. I agree with you that the officer used his gun to stop him, not for the intent to kill him, but because he was running away from him. I'm not defending the police officer in this case, but what I'm saying is every person should stop when the police stop him for whatever.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely right, Teddy. Now, how do you know? Are you a cop?
No, but my daughter is.
She an NYPD officer?
Yes.
Excellent. Do you worry about her?
Every single day, but she believed what I just told you, that she used all peaceful means to deal with those people in the Bronx. No matter what color they are, no matter what nationality they are, and she always, always end up peacefully and all call for backup. And if she has a partner who's here in that day, you know, they all handle the case very peacefully.
I hear you, Teddy, and thank you for your daughter's service to the city. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the call. Chris in Manhattan, what's on your mind? Thank you for your patience, Chris. Well, I guess you weren't patient.
I am.
Oh, there you are. Okay, buddy. What's on your mind?
Okay, hi. Sorry about that. I don't understand why you're putting the emphasis on the fact that it was a white cop and a black man.
Oh, come on, Chris. You have a whole movement here. Black Lives Matter. Why do people? Wait a second. Let me answer you. Why do you think we have this movement that Black Lives Matter? All lives matter. We have led the way here. Particularly when Ramos and Lou got killed, the cops got
the flames. That's why. And you did the same thing.
You know, blindness, intentional blindness. Like the monkeys, you can put your hands over your eyes, your hands over your ears, your hands over your mouth. And you can pretend that black families are making this stuff up. But when you're presented with a case that is exactly the stereotype that these families have been complaining about, there's no equivocation here. You know, maybe a lawyer can conjure up another side to this story. But why do you think that this department in North Charleston, South Carolina, why do you think this department asked the prosecutor to charge the cop with murder? With murder. Because there is absolutely no way a reasonable person can look at that videotape and come to the conclusion that the officer or any reasonable person under the circumstances of that officer could have thought his life was in danger to the extent that he would shoot 8 times in the back. In the back. Shoot him in the back. Then walk over, check him out. Cuff him, the guy's dead, cuff the dead guy, hands behind his back, then go retrieve the taser and drop the taser alongside the dead body. Come on. Loving cops is one thing. Being one of those deaf, dumb, and blind monkeys is another. This is more than a tragedy. This is an outrageous crime. And what that cop did is he made the job of every officer in this country more difficult. He's a liar, and he may be a murderer. Now, I think that a good criminal defense attorney would probably beat a murder charge and say there was no intent. Make it a manslaughter rap, maybe. But this is a terrible, terrible deed. 866-RAWL is the number. Freddie, in Connecticut, you're on WABC. What's up?
Good morning, Carla. I can't disagree with you about it. He looks like a bad cop. There ain't no doubt about it. Anybody that doesn't think there's bad cops, you know, you're out of your mind. But all that
there's bad everything. There's bad newscasters. There's bad elected officials. There's bad priests. There's bad everything.
But I do have a problem when you say that they're looking at cops the same way as bad as criminals. Because if you look at the stats, there's more black people killed in 1 week by criminals than cops probably in 50 years. And I think the media loves racial distress. I think they make money off it.
Don't you think that this case has a deep racial component that is undeniable, Freddie?
I think there is, yes. To say that
it's like, you know what, you raise a good point. I'm glad you made me think about something. I appreciate that. You know, now there's this whole movement. The movement is when there's a alleged perpetrator, you know, in some politically correct districts, you're not allowed to say the perpetrator was a black man or a Latino man or a white man. You have to say he's 5'10", he weighs 160, and he's wearing a plaid shirt. And that's it. You're not supposed to mention the name, the race of the perp. It's like stupid politically correct BS. In this case, however, ladies and gentlemen, the Black Lives Matter movement is correct. That's why I think video should be mandatory. And the video of this incident should be mandatory viewing in every police academy in the land. They should all study what that cop did to that man as he ran away. And say, whatever happens, officer or officer in training, you never shoot that man as he runs away. And then you never attempt to justify your action by planting evidence and defiling the dead by trying to frame them. This is clear proof that sometimes, this is the number one show for rooting for cops in this country, but sometimes cops are too quick to use deadly force, especially in cases involving young black men. This one wasn't so young, 50 years old.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Don't touch that dial. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by the U.S. Army band Downrange. They're here live in our studio high above Madison Square Garden celebrating the 239th birthday of the United States Army. We'll be hearing from them shortly. My buddy Bo Deedle is listening, the hero cop He's cautioning me to be careful, even mentioning Eric Garner and Staten Island in the same sentence as this South Carolina outrage. They are different cases, obviously. In Staten Island, the cop intended no harm. He didn't use his weapon. It was a headlock or a chokehold, however you want to describe it. Bo would suggest it was a headlock. Looks like a chokehold, though. Obviously, Eric Garner died, but and the cop was not charged by the grand jury, and its wisdom said he committed no criminal act. We're talking about, though, an unequivocal case, the South Carolina case. It is every black family's nightmare. The guy gets stopped, the traffic stop, tail light out on his Mercedes. He owes money on child support, afraid the cop's going to bring him in on a warrant. He runs after they tussle. He runs, and from 15, 20 feet away, he gets shot in the back over and over again. You have this, Chris, do you have the mother of the victim? Do you have that that audio of the mother
he
of...
He needs to know that that wasn't an animal that he killed. He was my son.
Judy Scott, the mother of Walter Scott, who was apparently murdered or allegedly murdered by the cop. You see the video. The video is the key. The video tells the story. I want every cop to have mandatory body cams that can be not made public, but seen internally by supervisors whenever there's this kind of a beef. Jim in Hackettstown, you're on WABC. What's up?
Hey, Geraldo, how's it going?
Good, man, good.
Good. Yeah, I agree with you. This seems like a really bad thing this cop did. So it's kind of not the right time for me to make the point I've been wanting to make for the last year or so, with all these shootings and potential police brutality. I want to know why people are trying to run and fight cops. They have guns. And
I agree. I agree. Do so, not like, run. You're not going to outrun a bullet, and you're not going to get away. And, you know, you got to, like, I appreciate the call. Thank you, Jim. Here's a guy that has problems not paying child support. So the family that he is neglecting, the estranged wife or ex-wife or the mother of the man's children, complains to the authorities. The guy has a warrant out because of these unpaid child support bills. He's, you know, and I hate people that don't pay child support. They're the least favorite people on earth. But that's a different beef. And that's not something that you should lose your life behind. I mean, it is just, it is appalling. And you know, hey, well, let's say Kevin in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. What's up, Kevin? What are you thinking about?
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, there was a case in Eastern Pennsylvania a couple months ago involving an unarmed white suspect who was shot and killed by a white cop. Did you hear about this story?
I did not. I mean, I may have, but give me another sentence on it.
Geraldo, that's exactly my point. What I'm trying to say here is that people like yourself and the media in general only choose to cherry-pick the stories that involve a white cop and a black suspect. And I think that just fuels a lot more.
You know, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to ignore this video? Kevin, come on, grow up. Grow up. Here you have a movement, ladies and gentlemen. The movement is called Black Lives Matter. That's the movement. Why do you have this movement, Black Lives Matter? I don't have to go through the litany of these notorious recent cases. But there is no doubt, however you spin the statistics, that somewhere between 2.5 to 17 times more blacks are killed in deadly police shootings than whites. So you pick the statistic. There's no doubt. You can't argue it anymore. Hey, Charles, thanks for calling from Long Island City.
You keep saying Black Lives Matter about that movement. Well, I have absolutely no respect for the movement, and I won't until I start to see the movement protest black-on-black crime in all five boroughs, in other cities around the United States, where the amount of blacks killing blacks is inordinately greater than whites killing blacks. It seems the only
I agree that is so necessary as part of the discussion. I agree with you, Charles. But even adjusting for murder rates, black male teenagers, I'm quoting, are still killed by police 2.3 times as often as white.
And they're still killed even a lot adjusting more by for the murder rate. Teenagers.
You know, it's just, you can't, it's one thing to flog an issue and make a point. It's another thing to be blind to the facts. Blindness equals ignorance.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
36 minutes after 11 o'clock, you're in for a special treat. Right now, listen to that.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above.
240 years ago, our nation's leaders established the Continental Army, called upon to prevent, shape, and win against our adversaries. Today we are beginning the celebration of the Army's birthday, and we're very proud to have representatives of the terrific United States Army Band downrange here. Those soloists you're listening to are Staff Sergeant Jeremy Gaynor and Staff Sergeant Adiza Jabril. Now, first of all, Sergeant Gaynor, you were on The Voice, were you not?
Yes, sir, I was.
And how was that experience? What did you sing on The Voice?
Well, I sang Superstar, a Luther Vandross remake, and I also did Animals by the very talented Adam Levine, Maroon 5.
And so what would you like to give us a little sampling of that right now?
Well, of course, I'm a soldier, you know, as a part of the Army tradition, you know, the most trusted professionals in the world. So I would like to sing something patriotic. We'll sing the Star Stripes, Eagles Fly.
Okay, Staff Sergeant Jeremy Gaynor, take it away.
There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. And there's a bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. I pledge allegiance to this flag, and if that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud to do, hey, we can use some more like me and you, with the stars and stripes and the eagle fly.
Staff Sergeant Jeremy Gaynor, man, you got chops.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Are you ever thinking of leaving in the Army going pro?
Absolutely not. Right. I enjoy being a soldier.
Adrian Combs, the spokesperson for the Army, my dear friend for years, I asked that question. She held her breath for the answer. And now, Adiza, you're a local person, are you not?
I am. I'm Brooklyn-born, Staten Island raised.
How about that? And, you know, what made you join the Army? Give us the path that led you to the United States Army.
I was actually completing my bachelor's degree in voice and vocal performance from Ithaca College in upstate Ithaca, New York. And I did the audition. I saw that there was an opening for a lead female vocalist at the U.S. Army band, Pershing's Own. And I was like, well, it's time to start doing auditions. I'm going to try out for this job and we'll see what happens. And I was fortunate enough to be rewarded with the position. So I've been with the band, with the Army band, for about a year and a half now. And it's been really amazing.
So to where have you traveled with the band?
I've been to New York a couple of times. This is my second time coming back home to New York City. I've been to Boston, Hershey, Pennsylvania, Albany, New York on a tour called Spirit of America that we do.
And how generally do people react to the Army band when you play?
People seem to really love having the opportunity to engage with Army professionals in a way that a lot of people don't really know that the Army exists. So we have a really fortunate position of being able to tell the Army's story through music and really connect with people and show them different sides of the Army as well. It's a really fantastic position to be in.
So we are so delighted to have you here. Now, the big event is Friday, June 12th. There'll be a setup in Times Square, Military Island. It'll be in Times Square between 43rd and 44th Street, starting at 10 in the morning. Friday, June 12th, great music, patriotic performances. the Army celebrating its 240th birthday. Could you guys give us one more big number? Here's Staff Sergeant Adiza Jabril, Staten Island native, Staff Sergeant Jeremy Gaynor, this veteran of The Voice, bringing you live from our 77 WABC studios. What are you going to do?
I will be singing America the Beautiful.
Lay it on us. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good.
Staff Sergeant Adiza Jabril, the U.S. Army Band. For additional information about that birthday celebration I told you about in New York, check out their website, www.mdw.army.mil. mdw.army.mil. Mm-hmm. 42 minutes after 11 o'clock. We'll be right back to your phone calls after this. Don't go away.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
All right, to get back to your calls and back to the topic of the day, the need for all cops to have video body cameras. But I just want to mention, as we listen to the lovely voices of the U.S. Army personnel, and I'll tell you where they came from momentarily. You know, this fight the United States has been engaged in against international terror since 9/11/2001. The one good side about it is that some of the best friends I've made in my entire life are with the United States military. And these friendships have developed over the years in Iraq and Afghanistan and the bases here in the States and elsewhere. And I just I feel blessed to really to know them and to be friends with them. Adrian Combs, the Deputy Public Affairs Officer who arranged the vocalists to come in today, one of those friends. But again, I want to thank Adiza Jabril, Staff Sergeant from the U.S. Army Voices and from the West Point Army Band, the vocalist. You saw him on The Voice, Staff Sergeant Jeremy Gaynor. Thank you all for coming in. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, now back to what we've been talking about today. You know, it is a situation. Are you still there, Anthony, on the West Side Highway?
Yeah.
I hope you're using a hands-free device, but go ahead. What's up?
Yeah.
So what's on your mind, buddy?
I wanted to bring up the fact that you kept mentioning thank God for the video cameras, and I agree with you. I think cops should have video cameras both to protect the public and to protect good cops. So I'm not arguing that point, but I just want to push back on you a little bit by saying thank God we got the video, when really there's no denying the evidence. The guy would have been convicted anyway. He's got 8 shots in his back, for crying out loud.
I don't think he would have been convicted. And I'll tell you why. You saw the way the cop takes the taser from the police cruiser, the ground right by the door of the vehicle. He takes the taser, he picks it up, he carries it the 20 feet to where the dead body is, and he puts it next to the dead body as if to say, the guy's running with my taser, I feared for my life. I think he could have beat the charge without the video. I definitely do. But anyway, thank you for your call. Now drive safe. Ronnie in New Jersey, what are you thinking about, Ronnie?
Hey, how you doing, Geraldo? Listen, Geraldo, you're absolutely right as far as that video goes. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind about it. What the cop did was wrong. But here's another bad situation we seem to have in the black community. How about also showing videos to the blacks, especially the young black men, how not to react when you're stopped by the police? Stop with the resisting or the arguing and just, you know, do things the right way.
But, you know, I agree with you. I agree with you. But you have to, in your own heart, ask yourself, is there a different reaction from the officer depending on who it is that they're having the confrontation with. I'm not making the judgment here, but everybody has had human experiences. You all know, everybody listening right now, you all have had your own bundle of personal experiences. You all have your own, your hang-ups. We all do have our own hang-ups, our own point of view, our own stereotypes. We're based on what's happened to us and what we've seen in them. We have our own. Cops respond to people. How cops respond to people, I'll leave that, you know, I'll leave that blank and you fill it in, how they respond to different people. You give attitude to a cop, and you're right. You give sufficient attitude to an officer, and it's not going to matter whether you're white, black, brown, yellow, red, purple, chartreuse. It won't matter. You give enough lip to a cop, you're going to pay the price. You cannot litigate your case with the cop. You cannot argue. Do not argue. Certainly don't grab anything on the cop. Yeah, that's like a seal in your own death warrant. All that is absolutely true. What I'm saying to you, though, is very specific here. This cop shot this man in the back. He fired 8 times. He hit him 5 times. And then he tried to plant evidence on the dead body. This cop is now an accused murderer. But my point about the videotape, I'm telling you, we have to start an aggressive campaign to reignite that issue. Cops should have cameras on their bulletproof vests, just like they have cameras now in the dashboards of the cruisers, of the police cars. Is Justin in Montclair is calling 77 WABC. What's up, Justin?
Hey, how's it going today?
Good, man. It's a miserable day out, though, isn't it?
I mean, of course it is.
So cold and damp and chilly. Anyway, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to point out that in September, November of 2014, in South Carolina, a trooper has shot a guy named LeVar Jones at a gas station. And I don't know if you saw the video or not, but there's a dash cam. I'm going to Google it right now. The guy complied, did everything you're telling people to do, and this cop shot him like a dog. And the guy complied with the cop's orders when the cop asked him to get his license and registration. And he shot him for reaching into his car to get his license and registration. So I think just trying to tell people that, well, if they comply, they'll be okay, is not a fair assessment, especially for African Americans in this country.
I agree, but you have to agree with me that it is unhelpful to be confrontational with a cop. It is helpful. Not always will it result in a just result, but you can't confront the cop, comply with the cop. Yes. And the case that you mentioned, you Google it, LeVar Jones, it's all over the place. The shooting raising troubling questions, the guy reaching in his glove box, to get the registration when he gets shot. The cop totally overreacted. I remember it very clearly now. I don't know what happened to the guy. I'm trying to find out the end of this story. Right?
He was arrested. I remember that.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the latest. I don't know what happened, but I'll look it up. But I appreciate your call. No, it's not an absolute preventive for unreasonable use of force by the cop, but it certainly goes a long way, and the alternative is absolutely, unacceptable. Here's Hank. You're going to be my last call today. What's on your mind, Hank?
I got advice. If you're a black man like me and you get stopped by the cops and for whatever reason you run away or whatever happens, you should have a costume on. You should be able to put on like a bear costume or something like that so the cops won't shoot you.
They won't shoot the bear. It sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit, but pretty clever, Hank, and I appreciate the call. Listen, folks, we love cops. I say that time and time again, but there must be a coming to grips with the fact that too many black families fear the cops worse than they fear the crooks. That is absolutely unacceptable. Body cameras, tasers, fix this. We can fix this. Thank you so much for listening. You know I love you. We'll talk tomorrow.